Hi, everyone. You are now tuned in to Gem Hunt, a podcast dedicated to digging up hidden hoard gems. Each week, we select a movie with 5,000 votes or less on IMDb, and we review the shit out of it, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, we do.
That's what we do.
So here's the thing. You want to know what happened?
What happened?
It's a terrible, regrettable thing that happened.
What?
We forgot to do our personal introductions last week.
That's true. We got all caught up in the moment. We forgot.
Good. Then maybe everyone doesn't know it was me that was so obnoxious last week.
Yeah.
That was buggy.
No, well, it was me.
It got me thinking, do we even want to keep doing it? I kind of like it, but...
I do too. I have an idea for this one also.
I think we should at first just until people can recognize.
Or if we have like something fun to say, we can do like intros. Like I don't know, the turkey you forgot about or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the turkey you forgot about.
This isn't Katya. That's Katya. Katya vibes.
Who wants to go first?
It's your week, unless Buggy does. Buggy does.
Oh, okay. I'm Buggy, and I'm a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Beth, and I promise to be 25% less obnoxious this week than I was last week.
I'm counting the percentage.
I was recovering. I was sick, and I had a little bit of rosé.
I didn't think you were obnoxious.
No. Yeah. I'm sure you were okay, Mom.
My name is Cody, and I will employ every evil spell at my disposal to help me get my bag of gold coins back.
Oh,
that's a really topical. Good one.
We are set up in a different configuration tonight. Obviously, everyone out there listening can't see that because we don't do that video shit.
No.
We are podcasters, not YouTubers. We are just three disembodied voices haunting your headphones.
You will never know who we are.
But if you'd like to know what it looks like, we're set up around the living room table. Coffee table? What is this thing?
It's a coffee. They call it a coffee table.
We're lounging on the couch and in the rocking chair or whatever. What would you call this chair?
It's a bouncy chair.
A bouncy chair. Yeah.
It bounces.
It's much more comfortable, and I'm hoping that it'll be better for our audio levels, hopefully. I brought in some extra gear, too, so.
And since we're in a circle, and the dog is the fourth point in the circle, not that a circle only has 4 points, but it'll be, I think, better for him.
It has 4 points in a circle.
It's a four-pointed circle. Rounded out by the dog on his own bed.
I want to thank all of our friends who have listened so far to the first few episodes. Thank you. We are getting into the swing of things, and tell your other friends to listen. Rate us or whatever.
But only if it's a good rating.
Tell your enemies to listen.
Yeah, tell your enemies. Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about up front? Any bees in your bonnets you got to let out?
I don't think it's time.
Keep the bees.
Mm-hmm. For now.
Okay. Well, with that, this week we are going to Brazil.
Brazil.
Nope, not like that. More like this. Yes, indeed. Brazil. Have you heard of it?
Have you? Do you know?
Yes.
Do you know you can't travel to Brazil without having $2,000 in your bank account now?
Well, I am not going to Brazil anytime soon.
Well, I just heard about Brazil recently.
You just discovered it.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I can't believe that's a place. It's it's a very large country. It's the fifth largest country in the world by landmass. Did you know that one?
Yeah, I knew it was big. I didn't know where it fit. It's long.
Yes, it's quite large. And Brazil is a melting pot of a wide variety of culture, known for samba and bossa nova and tropicala, which is a musical style I just heard of recently that I'm excited to explore. It's kind of like it's like 60s psych meets traditional Brazilian music. Os Mutantes is considered a tropicalia band, I guess.
Oh, your dad gave us one of their records.
Yeah. They have a very great football team. I'm a soccer guy. I promise I won't talk about soccer. They have a very powerful and diverse economy, but also struggles with social inequality and some fucked up political turmoil. That's a bit above my pay grade. And Brazil is a country that has one of the highest incident rates of penis cancer in the world.
Whoa. Is that because of sun exposure?
Yeah, because they're just tanning their penises. All right.
I'm not sure, but apparently penis cancer is increasing globally, so...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Keep this an eye on your dick. Keep,
serious.
Keep is an there... eye on your friends' dicks.
Yeah. Your enemies' dicks.
Keep an eye on your friends' dicks. Make sure they're all right. Is there any... Like, do you know why that is? Or is it just like, that's just a fact?
It's related to HPV, I think. Oh. I don't know why Brazil is leading, but...
Sexy there.
Yeah, you know what else they have in Brazil?
What?
Brazilian wax.
Horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have actually seen some Brazilian horror films. I've went back through the records, and we've watched some over the years. Skull, The Mask, do you remember that one?
I do.
Very gory. That came out in 2020. We watched it as part of our October marathon in 2021. Baccarat, not really a horror film, more of an action adventure thing.
You would like it.
UFOs and whatnot, but very good. Kind of leans horror a little bit. I thought it was worth mentioning. The Night Shifter, do you remember that one?
No.
It was also one of our October movies back from 2020.
I don't remember anything about October of 2020.
Is it the one where that guy can like talk to like dead people
yeah,
in the morgue?
Yeah, he works the night shift in the morgue.
Oh, I do remember
and
that.
And he
that
can
was
communicate
good.
With the spirits of the dead people. Okay. That was yeah. a good movie.
That was a good
yeah.
movie.
But we can't talk about Brazilian horror without talking about the Coffin Joe films. Do y'all know anything about Coffin Joe?
I do, actually. They're on Shudder. Yeah. I do know what you're talking about.
So I had the house to myself this weekend, which is usually a disgusting bacchanal of overindulgence and laziness. But I decided to use my time to do some research. So let's go back to the 60s. Prior to 1964, there had never really been a legitimate horror film made in Brazil. Enter one José Mojica Marins, an up-and-coming filmmaker who decided to rectify this by creating a character known as Zé do Caixão, or as he's known in English, Coffin Joe. Our cat has joined the podcast.
Hammy is here, and she will not stop
the couch,
talking.
That's the dangers of the couch. Yeah.
We had the dog last week.
She will scream into my mic. I'm sorry.
This week,
we have a geriatric cat. Geriatric cat.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, where am I at? So, yes.
Coffin Joe.
Coffin Joe. Marins hadn't originally planned on playing the character himself, but the actor he had lined up for the production dropped out. So he ended up playing the role of Coffin Joe in the 1964 film, At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. This was followed up by the 1967 film, This Night, I'll Possess Your Corpse. Mm-hmm. Marins went on to play the character of Coffin Joe in a number of other projects throughout the 60s and 70s, but it wasn't until 2008... when Marins reprised the role of Coffin Joe in the film Embodiment of Evil, that the Coffin Joe films became an official trilogy. He was also kind of an Elvira Sven Gulli type of guy for a while in Brazil, whore host kind of dude. Mm. So here's the deal with the character of Coffin Joe. He's described as an amoral undertaker. Basically, he owns his funeral home. All the people in town refer to him as the grave digger. And his whole thing is, he believes in nothing. He's quite anti-religious. He thinks that all the people in town adhering to religious beliefs makes them inferior. He's like, I'm better than all you fools with your religion. He thinks the perfect man is free of feelings.
Oh, you think that too.
Yeah, I agree with that one. So the quote that starts the 1964 film, At Midnight, what is it?
Is it really I'll take your soul like a shoe soul, or is it?
I probably just spelled it right. Yeah,
I'll take your shoe soul.
At midnight, I'll take your shoes.
I'm going to take that sweet soul.
Next
Anyways,
is the upper.
The quote at the beginning of At Midnight, I'll Take Your Shoes is, what is life? Life is the beginning of death. What is death? Death is the end of life. What is existence? It is the continuity of blood. So, yeah, the continuity of the blood is his whole thing. He basically just wants to impregnate broads. That's his thing. He thinks immortality is getting chicks pregnant and continuing his perfect non-belief throughout the ages.
That's kind of what evolution thinks continuity is. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just
I guess so,
protect the, you know, like, that's the whole deal of why, like, why species pass on their shit is to like keep their
so he's
genes
not wrong.
In the pool. No, he's not wrong. Yeah. It sounds scientific.
Yeah, yeah, he's actually right, and you should be killing more broads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, impregnate them.
Well, so here's the thing. He's basically like a goth pimp. He's kind of a gangster.
No way.
Yeah, you can tell he's a pimp just by looking at him.
You can tell I'm a pimp by how my shirt fits.
Did you say a goth pimp?
A goth pimp. Yeah.
You heard him.
Mm-hmm. He's got a cape. He has these disgusting, like, long, curly fingernails that he actually rocked in real life. I read somewhere that he actually grew them out. I'm not sure if the big, long ones were his or if they were just, you know, glued on or whatever. But he
and he's
kind
the
of,
director, too.
He was the
doing
director,
that with
too.
Those nails.
Yeah. So he kind of became this character in his regular life also.
Okay, so a Johnny Depp moment.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so Coffin Joe just trying to bang broads. Everyone in town hates him. No one wants to bang him, really.
Damn.
The townsfolk are constantly conspiring to take him out, but they're also scared shitless of him because he'll whoop your ass if you fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
He kills people with spiders and snakes, especially trifling bitches that won't let him impregnate them.
Those he said he's broads. A little bit like
Albert.
Are you paused?
No.
You said he's a little bit Freddy Krueger. I mean, the nails make me think that, but just like that's the closest.
The
like,
Freddy Krueger is more like just how ubiquitous he is. You
well,
know,
like
he's
he
like,
shows up. Got
yeah,
him.
Like the most popular horror character in got the him. Country. We have a lot of those, but he's kind of like that. You could, you know, I don't know, attribute other characters, I guess, Jason or Pinhead. But, you know, I've heard him referred to as Brazil's Freddy
Krueger. Freddy Krueger is probably more, yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't believe in superstitions or otherworldly entities, but he keeps getting fucked up by these spooky supernatural apparitions that supposedly kill him at the end of each movie, but he keeps coming back. And there's this one scene in particular that I want to call out. So in This Night I'll Possess Your Corpse, all these movies are black and white, by the way.
Oh.
Coffin Joe is dragged into hell by these zombie hands coming up out of the graveyard, and once he gets to hell, there's a sudden switch from black and white to color, and it's awesome. It's like a psychedelic Hellraiser-esque nightmare.
That's so cool.
Pretty sweet.
Are these on Shudder?
They are.
You
is that one
them.
Not?
I went to Movie Madness and rented a couple of them, yeah.
They do. They have a couple of them on Shudder. They don't have the trilogy, but they have the first two.
I didn't get to the full trilogy, but I did watch the first two. And definitely check them out if you're interested in the history of Brazilian horror. Or just the history of horror in general. I think it's kind of great. Basically, there is no horror in Brazil without Coffin Joe. So, one last note. I don't want to linger on the history too much, but based on what I've read, horror films are very popular in Brazil. But historically, Brazilian horror filmmakers have been hesitant to classify their films as horror. So, other than the films by José Mojica Marins, Brazilian horror has been hard to come by until the last 20-25 years, and now there's sort of a new wave of Brazilian horror emerging, and apparently the director credited with kickstarting the modern horror movement in Brazil is none other than the director of the film we are reviewing tonight, Rodrigo Adagao.
Oh, cool.
And now on to the movie that we are reviewing tonight, A Mata Negra, a.k.a. The Black Forest. Before I get started, I want to do a shout out to another podcast that beat us to this by like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wiki Horror. I can't do Spanish well, but that was the best I could do. It's a Latinx horror movie podcast. They've done The Black Forest back in January 2023. They've done the Coffin Joe films. I haven't actually listened yet. I didn't want to be skewed by what they said, but as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to check it out.
How do you spell that?
U-Y space Q-U-E horror.
Got it.
Yeah. So on to A Mata Negra. This movie is wild, probably not worth trying to do a comprehensive storyline recap because I feel like despite having a pretty simple concept, it starts to bounce around a lot as it goes on. A lot of side stories and characters are introduced in the midpoint, so I'm going to do my best to try to sum up some of the key elements of this movie. There's really a lot of information and story points right at the top of this thing. So it might get kind of dense for a minute. So feel free to jump in if I'm not making sense or if I freeze up like either of our leading presidential candidates.
But
well, the first 20, like 4 minutes of this movie are crazy. They really give you no time. They're just like, by the way, this is this movie.
I want to quickly say too that this movie is called The Black Forest, and there's also a movie called Black Forest. And even when I was trying to, I think that one's German or something. And even today when I was trying to like brush up, sometimes they get confused. Like the other one's from 2012, but I saw it with the date 2018, which is when this movie was made. So that is something to, that one's something about like backpackers or some shit. I don't know.
There's also a ham.
There's a ham?
Ham.
Black Forest ham. Right.
That is true.
So and gummies. This movie's set in a small village in the forest, where Clara is living in a hut with Paino, who adopted her 5 years earlier after finding her in the forest. They kind of gloss over this, right?
They do. They don't talk about it.
It's weird. It's like, here's a thing that happens. Okay, on with the movie.
Yeah.
Well, but I think it's kind of cool because it implies that maybe she came from some sort of dark
Because there's
origin.
Definitely like, because he, yeah, we don't really get any context other than just like in the beginning, them talking and kind of giving us a little exposition on like what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they never say like how he found her. They just say that basically 5 years ago, he found her and has been taking care of her ever since.
Totally. Oh, I should mention this movie opens with an image of this old church, like on a mountaintop, that is very clearly CGI before we move into sort of this epic rainforest flyover that also looks a bit CGI until we kind of get down into the forest. And then once we're kind of down there, that's when the film actually starts to look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gives you a sense of the remoteness of the location. And the opening music's kind of a jam also. So where are we? Okay, so Clara's been living with Paino in the hut, and he is an old healer and a tonic maker. He's basically her dad at this point.
Yeah.
And he gives her some money for her birthday and tells her to save up and go check out the city someday. I think he's kind of urging her to get out of this village and go explore the world. Then he packs up his tonics and he heads for the local market to sell some shit. But before he can get more than 50 yards from the hut, he collapses and goes into some like mini possession type of thing. He starts talking in a demonic voice.
That
was my impression. Did you think it was kind of like a short possession come demonic possession?
Yeah. Well, I mean, took him over in the forest.
And that's
for a
something like I keep thinking about that too. I'm like so curious as to what was doing that because it was such a clear like warning, like you need to leave. And it was so interesting. I was like, what possessed him and like what was that? Because, he just, I would say so, though, because he really isn't himself and he doesn't remember what happened or anything.
Yeah, and I think that's part of, like, knowing that she'd been found in the forest. Like, you get a sense early that there's something about the forest other than it being remote. Like, there's some being lurking. Well,
and I mean, the things he says, too, and, like, Cody can bring that up, too. Like, he says a very specific thing.
It's a warning, like, get out of here. Like, she's,
she says, you're cursed. Yeah. You need to go. And the subtitles are a little off on Tubi.
Oh man, the subtitles. Yeah, we rented it on Amazon and the subtitles were shit.
Yeah, the subtitles being a little off didn't really do much, except like there was one time when it was obviously the person, it might have even been that part with the healer, her dad person, that it was like obviously the pronoun should have been you, but it was I or something, where it actually did kind of affect clarity.
Well, then also like a lot of the subtitles, it mainly just uses in. Like I noticed that a lot. Like there was just a lot of times where it would like, it's just like one word. Instead of like using like of, it would be like in.
Oh, which is kind of like, you know, like and. But.
No, there it was like, it's pretty like navigatable. But in the, like his little talk when he is possessed, he says like this will only bring darkness. And I'm not sure if he meant she will only bring darkness.
I think I know. Yeah, that might have been. There were just a couple times where the bad translation actually.
We just couldn't tell if it was like.
Might have affected meaning.
Benevolent, like she's bad. Or if it's like the actual like forest is bad.
Which maybe that was not not on purpose. But yeah, there were a couple times where the subtitles did affect understanding.
For sure. So he's out of commission. Clara offers to take the tonics and potions to the market instead. And this is where everything starts to go off the rails for poor Clara. Right off the bat, some kids hit her in the face with a wad of shit or mud or something. I think it might be shit.
I don't know where these kids get off, too. They just hide in the forest and throw shit at people.
Exactly. So she gets her shitty ass to the market, and she has a run-in with a religious fanatic who tries to talk her into giving her some money for some big-time preacher or priest that's going to be in town. Yeah. And she's like, fuck that, we're poor. That lady kind of gives her a hard time, and then she meets the stud, or
the stud.
I don't know, is it her boyfriend? Stud. Yeah,
they weren't like together, but it was
Did she even know him?
I think maybe.
I was thinking like they had always just kind of known each other, and like he liked her, right? Because he tried to like help her out because her shit gets stolen after she won't like give money. And he's the one who's like, I think God knows who needs the money more. He like tries to defend her. And her, like, shit gets stolen and he, like, pays for a potion or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think they know each other.
And
but
there's
they're
little
not together.
Well, this was the weird thing. Actually. So, yeah, her bag gets stolen and he runs after it. He gets the bag back, but the money's gone. Mm-hmm. And then he feels bad and he says, I'll buy a tonic from you. And then he says, oh, I don't have any money. Sorry, I'll pay you later.
Yeah.
What? This guy
Yes, there's, like, a little bit of humor.
There's or a little bit of, like, okay, maybe in retrospect and hindsight, this is not like the dashing, charming boy we thought he was.
The hunk or stud or beefcake or whatever you said.
Of course he's a beefcake.
So it's a bad first day at the office, essentially. So Clara heads home through the forest and the damn kids hit her with shit in the face again.
Again,
what
bro.
Is it with these kids throwing
but
shit?
But more
in the
shit
middle, man.
Is what's crazy. They went like triple
Wait, why
time.
Why do you have to make it like a national problem? What, the kids in Brazil?
She didn't make it. He didn't make it a national issue.
He
it's
said,
just
what is
kids.
It with these kids throwing shit in Brazil?
Well, what is it with these kids specifically in this forest and their weird thing about throwing shit like specifically at
her? Maybe it's just a Brazilian forest thing. I mean, I've never been hit in the face with shit in the forest.
Well, you haven't been in the forest like that. Maybe if you get far enough, people start throwing shit at you.
I'm from the forest. I am the forest. Oh, okay. So there's shit everywhere. it's worth noting that Clara gets a lot of gross stuff splashed on her face in this movie. Like, if something's going to be splattering or spraying, it's going to end up on her
face. It's on her, always.
Yep.
Consistently.
Yeah. So, Clara takes off after these damn brats, and she can't catch them, so she stops by the creek to wash off the shit from her face and her clothes and grab a drink of water, and lo and behold, she finds some gold coins.
Oh, yeah.
One coin, two coins, a whole bag of coins? But then,
Oh, God.
Out of nowhere.
A creepy man emerges
wrinkly
from a
man.
Cave.
Gollum.
He scares the shit out of her, but he's like, no, listen, you can keep the gold, but I'm dying, and I'm going to go to hell, but I have this book. And he pulls out the book, and he tells Clara that there's a prayer in the book that if read all night long until the sun rises, his soul will be saved. Hmm. But she has to burn the book after she's read the prayer. And he warns her to not read anything else in the book. And also, she is going to see a bunch of scary shit throughout the night as she reads the prayer. But it'll be okay as long as she stays in her little circle.
Yeah.
And the book is called The Lost Book of Cipriano in the film. But it's based on a real book.
Oh.
The book is called The Book of Saint Cyprian. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I looked it up today, but until then, no.
You can buy a copy of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so Cyprian was a pagan sorcerer, and the book, also known as The Sorcerer's Treasure, draws upon traditions related to divination, healing spells, prayers, exorcisms, love magic, the locations of buried treasures, and animal magnetism, all set within a framework of folk Catholicism.
That's so
what do you
cool.
think animal magnetism is?
Magnets on animals?
No, it's... Isn't it like making animals do stuff for you?
Maybe.
Oh,
is that what you did to the dog?
It is interesting, too, because some of the names she calls out are, like, interesting. She, like, called it, like, Hecatite.
Oh, yeah. I looked up how to say that. Shit.
Hecate, I thought, but maybe that's what I thought she said. And then Hecate. Artemis. And yeah. She said Artemis too. Like, it's a lot of stuff going on
Hecate.
In that book.
Hey. I don't know. I'm okay, not. No. I just looked it up because that's like the sorceress, you know.
Is that? Yeah.
The like virgin witch crone, right. Whatever. That's definitely a thing from like pagan and like, yeah, there was some other. Yeah, I wrote them down too. It was like these seem to be kind of like far flung from different kinds of traditions.
That's what's cool too. I feel like a lot of that stuff, it is a lot of things blended together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Book of Saint Cyprian is said to have originated in Portugal or Spain. And it's basically taboo in those places because of its occult nature, but it's very popular in Brazil, where it's found its way into magical literature and folk medicine. So the magic book is a key component of our plot line here.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the dying man. The dying man dies.
He suddenly. Just immediately dies after saying that.
Yeah.
So she buries the dude, and she makes a rock circle, and she starts doing the ceremony, and we definitely get some zombie-looking-ass spirits and creatures that show up, and unfortunately, Painho, her dad, wanders in and gets his ass whooped to death by these zombie dudes.
Because he's doing, like, his own ritual with a girl.
Yeah, he's doing some
healing. Oh, he's healing, yeah.
Yeah, and then he, like, watches the parents leave, and there's, like, this strange, like, tall spirit in the back, like, behind them. And somehow he knows, like, he has to go into the forest and find his daughter.
Because he's magic, too.
So she just can't catch a break
here
so
far. No, she cannot, dude.
But she makes it through the night, immediately goes to Painho's funeral, but she does not burn the fucking goddamn book.
Well, like, she also broke the circle, technically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess like, she did break the circle, yeah.
Because I was also wondering, sorry, this is a side note, but it's related. We're like, do you think that was a hallucination or that was real? Like, did it become real when she broke the circle? Like, I'm really, like, nerding out here, but I'm thinking, like, she literally disobeyed the dying man in such a, like, real way, and I wonder if that... Because I feel like
that's where everything got
her sure, breaching yeah. the circle wasn't really that big of a deal, but it was such a prominent yeah. part of his thing.
I think she was just safe within the circle.
Yeah.
The stuff was really happening, and that's why Painho got killed by things. But
he was outside of it.
He just happened to be close enough to where all of
the undead were.
Yeah, the undead were rising up because of the spell.
Okay, funeral.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So she's gone to the funeral. She doesn't burn the book. This is the first of many bad choices that Clara makes mm-hmm. from here on out.
Honestly, I kind of feel her, though.
She does have yeah. to bury a lot of bodies. You know, no. as you're yeah. saying, like, shit on her face, but also she, like, digs some graves.
No, wait. Just wait. Bodies. There will be a part I know you will bring up, and I have, like, such a think piece on
a lot of burying.
That.
Well, I don't know. We'll see if I do or not, because I'm trying
you
to...
You will.
I'm trying to pack it all in the front, and then I'm going to kind of, like, just breeze over the second half of the film. So we might have to do some, like... some extra additions here.
It's okay.
Okay, so she essentially ends up showing her bag of coins to the stud man mm-hmm. or her boyfriend or whatever the hell.
He comes to the funeral yeah. and he's like, I'm sorry.
Yep. And she says, here's my coins. You want to get the fuck out of Dodge? And he's like, hells yeah. So they dip out and they're walking along the train tracks and they get jacked in the tunnel by a couple of gangsters. Mm-hmm. The stud man gets blasted in the chest and dies. I think
first
Clara might have caught a slug also.
No,
I'm not sure.
Actually, there was first she gets shot. I remember this clearly. Because also it really adds like the twist mm-hmm. is he keeps being like, oh my God, Clara, just give them the
yeah,
bag.
Yeah, yeah,
just give
she
them the
bag. She doesn't want to give it up.
And she holds it to her chest and they shoot her. Uh-huh. And then he goes, are you guys insane? And they like kind of mock him and then they kill him.
I think doesn't the book like take the bullet?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
The book, no, she opens the book to a specific
and
page where the bullet landed and it gives her the next spell.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Okay. So she doesn't actually get hit, but it does enough to kind of like knock her senseless. So she wakes up, her gold coins are gone, her boyfriend's dead, everything is going wrong for
and
this
she's
woman.
Mad as hell.
Yeah.
And the bullet shows her the spell.
Indeed. And so
to bring him back. Yes.
This is the point where she decides to use the magic book to try to solve her problems. And that really is the catalyst for a nonstop series of bad shit throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Shit show.
You know, she buries her boyfriend and tries the resurrection spell.
And what does she do to try that resurrection spell? Remember those shit girls?
Yes. Yeah, so oh, yeah. She stones one of the shit slinging brats and tries to use them in the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
The goddamn villagers come for her and accuse her of summoning demons, which she kind of she did. She yeah. was. Yeah.
And she like stole
well,
a child.
No,
yeah.
well, she took the kid, right? Which this is was so funny because this is what I was thinking about. I was watching this and I was like, I'm with her. Whatever she does, like, I wanted to get her man back. And then she literally stoned a kid and then dragged her into a circle. And I was like, oh,
now I'm really with her.
Well, I was like, okay, this is like not where I thought this was going to go. And then the spell doesn't work and she lets the kid go because she didn't kill the kid. And that's why. And that's when the villagers come and get her ass because the kid escaped.
Yeah. And that's like, that moment is very Coffin Joe because that's kind of what happens to Coffin Joe in both the movies I watched where the townsfolk are like, I'm sick of this satanic weird guy who's like, we know he's murdering people, but he keeps getting away with it. And so they come for him in a similar way that these people did. So
no, they like immediately too are like on it.
So at this point, Clara's on the run. She keeps trying to use the book, which just leads to more cursed ass shit and death and blood spray. And awesome. demonic chicken fetuses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, chicken. Dude. Yeah.
Someone gets their head blown off.
But yeah, there's the religious fanatics, too. The one she first met. And
oh,
that
yeah.
guy.
She met the lady. That,
and who's mm-hmm. that guy?
He's like some traveling spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned it, though. You put notes. His name's Jackson. That's
oh, yeah. name. I didn't even get. I skipped over our whole, like,
who's like the
details. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that
Francisco
a little bit?
Francisco das Gracias is the guy.
Yeah.
And his name, yeah, is Jackson.
That's his real name.
Man, I can't believe it. Yeah, I forgot that whole section. That's okay. I'll get back to it.
Shut up.
It does, though.
There's some more fighting. There's more blood and gore. There's demon summoning. Then kind of right at the end, the movie just takes this weird left turn and just kind of shits its pants with like this ridiculous CGI blowout, like some video game shit, but not getting too deep in the weeds. That's kind of what we got here. There are multiple twists in this movie that we hopefully will not or have not spoiled, but some of them you can see coming, other ones you can't. But, you know, that's interesting, I think. So that's kind of my brief crash course on this. Anything that I forgot or any highlights that you want to bring into the discussions to make sure that we didn't miss anything?
I enjoyed the Chicken Man storyline a lot, and I think Buggy maybe wants to.
Yeah, well, I want to. Okay. So, yeah. Basically, the juice of it is that this girl gets a magic book and she does bad things with it. But one of my favorite scenes, and it's not like as much of a spoiler, but it's like awesome. I'm going to try to keep it brief. Was like in her cool like spells and incantations, her gold obviously has been stolen. So she wants to know where it is. And the way she like finds it is by basically doing a thing where she can see through others' eyes, but she like invokes the same kind of like, I want to say it's similar to what happened to her when she was in the circle. It's something related to like bringing the dead back, because essentially what she does is she like curses the people who stole her money mm-hmm. to hallucinate. And what's also funny is this movie says TV-14 on Tubi, which is like, I don't know. It's not like the worst thing. Like, but there's boobs in this. Like, there's tits. There's also like naked ladies and like a bunch of crazy shit. Like in the whorehouse scene, because that's what happens. She like gets her like eyes basically, and she can see in the whorehouse
that one of the robbers is in the whorehouse.
Well, they're,
yeah,
both,
or they're
in
both in there. Yeah, but
one of them just had a threesome, mm-hmm. so it like zooms in on that where he was like in bed with these other girls. And then that scene is so awesome. Like, out of everything, that's my favorite. Basically, like, she gets in the minds of these criminals who took her money. And then, like, chaos ensues within that, like, bar. And it's insane. And it's so cool. And she, like, goes to the bar after it happened. And that's when, like, I would say the second act picks up.
Yeah, she goes because she knows the coins might be there. And the other thing that we just kind of, there's, like, a farmer with chickens, that is kind of a side plot. Also, he's like kind of a side, like he's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, almost like Charlie Brown ne'er-do-well. No. Like, he's got a pregnant wife and a sick mom. Impaired mom.
And he talks to his chickens.
He loves his chickens.
He loves them. And honestly, like, it kind of makes me sad. There's always, like, one character where you're kind of like, this guy didn't deserve it.
That maybe you're supposed to identify. But that goes a little wild,
well,
too.
Well, I honestly feel like I identified with Clara. Like, out of everyone, I was like, I honestly, like, don't blame her for the decisions she's made at this point.
She never really did anything to deserve any of it. She just kind of is tossed into it from the get-go.
But it's like she keeps, like, the spells always fuck shit up, and then she's like, I'll try another spell. Well, I mean, without even that much thought, though, it's sort of an
impulse. Domino effect, where, like, unfortunately, and to try to, like, get her goal, she fucks up everything for a lot of people. Because, like, she encounters this guy, and she basically offers, like, hey, I'll give you a gold coin.
Yeah.
And that's also when she has to do the incantation to figure out where the gold is, because she promises him she has a whole stash of it, but she doesn't have it yet. So she has to give him a coin, because at first she just snatched the eggs up. She went to his farm. I don't know how she found it. And she snatched the eggs up, and inside of them were the chicken fetuses.
She was trying to eat. Like, she was just, like, in the night because she's on the run. She's like, I'm going to cook. She had a little frying pan. She was going to cook them, but they're all, like, fucking blood egg fetus.
And that's when she finds him, and he helps her do this incantation. She has, like, a wish she puts into this egg.
Yeah, it's like a cursed Fabergé egg.
Yeah, and he asks her, like, why can't you do this shit by yourself? And she's like, because whatever I touch dies, right. And you have the ability to create life. So I need you to do it. But that inevitably, like, fucks this guy over, because he's got a pregnant wife. And what happens after he does this little chicken thing? His wife starts having problems with their baby.
But he's like the comic relief character too, because it's like, you know, his wife is always grumbling. Well, he can't do anything. She can't live on whatever the food. She can't only eat eggs because she's pregnant. It's like this whole thing where he's basically being, like, browbeaten by his wife hates his mom. His mom hates his wife. And it's sort of the, like, because there's some comedy in this movie.
No, I love his mom. I love his mom, too, because his mom, like, can't talk, but she's always, like, trying to be like, Clara's outside. Like, you guys need to understand. Like, there's someone out there. Like, she can't talk, but she mumbles. And she's always, like, looking towards the window being like, Clara's there. Like, you can't let her. Like, don't. Like, she's trying to warn them, honestly, about what's going on. Because somehow she knows. I don't know.
She can see.
She can see.
Her eyes are, like,
in the window. It's, like, intuitive, though, because she's like, this person is bad.
Which reminds me, I feel like there was, I don't know, I wouldn't say this movie was scary, but there were a couple, like, not jump scares, really, but in some of the stuff going on at the farm, there were, like, some little, like, oh, you know, like, she's right outside. Yeah,
there's
a couple scary moments.
Well,
there was, like, oh, that's almost scary.
Something I noticed, too, and this happens a lot in movies, like, I've noticed where there's a jump scare, but it's, like, sped up. This is really nerdy. But, like...
I noticed that, too.
But there's, like, a scene that I thought was pretty cool where he has a dream.
Which, the farmer or what?
The farmer. Zay? Yes, you're right. Zay. His name's Jose, but they say Zay. He, like, has a dream where this woman is in the corner. Oh, also, the cat is wailing in the background.
That's probably the one that was actually scary.
But she's in the corner, and I noticed that whole thing was sped up. Like, it sped up really fast, which kind of, like, took away from it. But I still really liked it. I thought it was cool. And it, like, also is the catalyst to another event where he, like, loses his shit, basically, after this dream.
Yeah, I noticed that speed up effect, too. And I thought it was building to be such a perfect kind of scary moment, and then that effect kind of took me out of
it. No, it did, because it felt like, you know, those, like, you know, like, haunt TV, you know, it's like the, like, fake ghost investigators, they always have these, like, cut scenes that are really, like, sped up, and they're usually in, like, a thermal cam.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. It felt like a, like, TV show, like, they sped up the moment, and, like, a corny reality, like, ghost hunting TV show. That's, like, really what I thought about, honestly. I don't know
for sure.
Which, maybe, I'm sure Cody wants to touch on this, or Buggy too, the, like, the comedy element, there's obviously some Evil Dead homage, right?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely some Evil Dead in this, and that was one of the things, I guess I'll get back to this, but the cinematographers and some of the reviews I saw, people thought that they were kind of emulating Sam Raimi and some of the early Evil Dead stuff. There was definitely... There's this whole demonic chicken fetus attack scene that was very much Evil Dead inspired.
So fun. I love stuff like that where it's like silly, so it's not upsetting when it's animal stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That's a pretty good recap. Mm-hmm. Do we want to get into our covering what we actually liked and did not like about this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anybody want to go first? I have some ideas, but...
Bugs, we want to let Cody go first?
Yeah, go first.
Okay. So some of the stuff I really liked. I love the spooky classic horror stuff, the undead ghouls and goblins and zombies creeping around, and the over-the-top gore that's gross but also comedic. Definitely the Evil Dead influence, some of the camera angles, obviously the summoning evil entities with the demonic book. The practical gore effects were really impressive. Mm-hmm. Chicken fetus scene was amazing.
Loved it.
the movie really kind of like ramps up at the end in terms of like the crazy gore and whatnot. Very much early, like I want to say, Sam Raimi or Peter Jackson type stuff at the mm-hmm. end there, which was pretty cool. I really like the way that they weave national folklore and fables into this movie. So in Brazil, there's a myth called the Little Devil of the Bottle mm-hmm. I read about, in which someone makes a deal with the devil in a ritual that summons a demon and traps him in a bottle, and the little demon will realize every wish, but at the cost of a person's soul. And I thought that is kind of a myth that sort of weaves its way through this movie to some extent.
No, definitely. Because of that spell she specifically does, it is like that. It's like, I will grant your wishes. That totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there was some interesting, maybe subtle critiques of the nation of Brazil that I'm, you know, not smart enough to pick up on, but... Some of what I've read about just Brazilian horror in general, just like any good horror, it really is kind of like capturing the big issues that are making people upset. In
like social
the,
issues, like, yeah, in, like
favorite
inequality
thing about
and, like,
horror is I feel like it always finds a like vanguard. Fun way to bring up like a real yeah. political problem.
Always.
Yeah,
or sure. just some, always, some it, commentary on social events or something.
So what do you think, like, poverty or inequality or
I don't know
religious just, hypocrisy about,
like, religion and state is, you know, like the, what I'm getting
the scene
of.
Where the religious guy mm-hmm. gets a hold of the book and he's like, I'm gonna become the president of this shitty country or whatever.
Yeah,
I felt like that
spoiler
was,
alert. No, I'm kidding,
that's not really
no that. I didn't touch on enough of it to mm-hmm.
also like
anything,
regardless
I felt like that was some kind of comment on
yeah
something. No, definitely, because I think it is kind of a commentary on like public figures or potentially like, cause there's like also a lot of like mob mentality yeah. going on there too, which I think relates to just like, again, like separating religion from like a political aspect, which I think is interesting. All of our like movies have touched on like religion
yeah,
in
no,
some
I was thinking about how
kind
got
of
another,
profound way.
Have, and that was not on purpose.
No, it's hypocrisy. Cause that's something that's really cool about horror is I feel like it does bring in a really interesting element of that sort of commentary on like, in like a kind of interesting way. It's like a very unique way to bring perspective to like real societal problems, which is kind of cool. That's why I love it so much, is because it manages to like be scary a lot, but then also like be profound in like a really weird way, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
Yeah, like it can attack things from the side because it doesn't have to like have a yeah. real target. It can just be like an... allegory. Analogy.
Exactly. I was about to say, it's like an allegory for like a lot of real mm-hmm. problems like that, like related to maybe it's not a monster, but there's something plaguing a particular place. Like every single continent and country has their own problems. So it's kind of cool to see like universally through this genre, we discuss a lot of problems. Sorry,
religion,
I'm getting deep.
Has really fucked a lot of people. I mean, just
reckon.
I guess any like hardcore ideology. Where if you don't fit the mold, that's the and horror movies grapple with that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what did you guys like about it?
Oh my god, a lot. Do you want to go?
I liked the chickens. I've already said that. I actually, you know, sometimes when it's not an English language film, it's easier to like. I thought it was pretty well acted, but when you're not hearing people talk, it's easier to think that if you can't tell if it's stilted or whatever.
I actually thought about that too.
I always feel like, especially when there's child actors, like if they're not speaking the language that is your native language, you can't tell if they're shitty. I liked the just that, yeah, the folklore stuff, I like that. I like a foresty tale. I thought there were parts where it was creepy. I thought the balance of funny and horror was great. It kept, you know, it was a good pace. Yeah, that's the stuff I liked.
Sorry.
Can Excuse I say, me. Are you?
You can say what you want
are
to say.
Are you vaping right
I am.
Now? Okay.
Vaping into the mic. Okay. I have so many thoughts, actually, because I watched this movie today.
Oh, she's fresh.
And I really like this movie, actually. And yeah, I already ranted about how I like horror movies like that, but I will say I agree with there's only one person I kind of thought was a bad actress, actually, and it was the one religious girl fanatic. I don't know, yeah. There was something about that where
she
was
pretty minor. Well, I guess she got a little more major. Yeah.
No, and well, yeah. And I liked a lot of it. I'm also a sucker for adding a little bit of romance into horror. I don't know what it is about that, but that's one of my favorite things. One of my favorite movies ever is Dead Alive, which perfectly combines both cheesy, corny romance and then also corny special effects, which I love. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was fun. There was kind of an element of romance in it. And I also, I don't know, I just liked the whole concept. I agree. I liked the folklore aspect of it. I just thought, I don't know, it was it shocked me in a lot of ways. It didn't scare me, but at the same time, I didn't know what this was about going into it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of fun. I kept reacting, oh my God, I can't believe she did that. Or I was I was having a good time, though. I was this is a crazy movie. I
it
love
was
this
fun.
Movie.
It was fun.
And I didn't expect the turns it would take. Even I feel with hindsight, there's still moments where you're whoa. Oh my God. Okay. Especially the ending too. I want 20 more movies.
Oh yeah. She was saying, this, yeah, where's subplot. Part two?
Because it felt that two. Way too. It ended in a way where I was so are we going to have another movie? And I researched it. There is no other movie. Mm. Tragically.
Yeah. You can make it.
I don't think I could. But I wish there was, because I really liked where it was going, honestly.
I have heard that some people think this is an unofficial sequel to one of Ottagao's earlier movies.
Oh, interesting.
No way! Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yeah, you could get your fix that way. Go backwards.
So I have a few things that I didn't like about this movie. I know you were talking about the acting. I thought the acting was kind of uneven. Some of it was great. Some of it wasn't great. And like you said, sometimes when I'm watching a movie from another country, I can't always tell. Mm-hmm. But I felt like when it was bad, I could kind of tell in this movie.
I agree.
And that was fine. It was this a silly horror movie. And yeah, it was campy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's to be expected. But I did notice it. I think the middle, a lot goes on, but it drags at points in the middle. And there's a lot of sort of humor and silliness that kind of, some of it took me out of the movie. It kind of lulls you to sleep with some of these silly antics before just dropping you back into some super gory horror stuff. Mm-hmm. But the balance just wasn't quite right for me in those sections. Right. Obviously, I noted that when there's CGI, it's kind of bad and it's very obvious. There's a lot of cool, creepy, spooky stuff. Not a super scary movie.
No.
And I kind of felt like it was going for scary at some moments, but never really pulled that off. And then some of the plot points are a little confusing, you know, where they don't explain things that could have maybe helped, like the boyfriend situation.
But see, yeah. I mean, better, and, you know, wouldn't you take that over explaining?
Yeah.
I would
prefer
that. Like
if
more
it drags, yeah, if it drags the movie out, I suppose I would take under explanation.
You know, if they were like, and we found out this is where she came from 5 years ago.
Yeah, when, then it'd be like, No, I also this is another nerdy element that I forgot. But when Clara gets beaten up, there's a scene where she gets her ass beat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, by the religious fanatics.
Mm-hmm. I have a pet peeve where I hate when they do a cut scene and the person looks completely fine,
oh,
basically.
Right. Yeah.
And they did kind of make it so it was obvious that Clara got her ass beat. And I don't know why, but that was very satisfying to me, because I feel in a lot of movies it's someone got beat up and then the next scene they look they have blood over them, but they don't have any injury where you're what?
Yeah, she does have this jacked up eye for the rest
eyes
of the movie.
Messed up, and it's kind of cool too. There's some scenes where her eye does a weird thing, and I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah, the CGI would be the one. Like, at the end, there is some... Cody touched on it, but there's some, like, ridiculous CGI, which it...
No, I think they just kind of set themselves up for failure. Like, they had some potential for some real, like, jump scares or some real, like, I don't know, even
ambiance.
And maybe
some of that end stuff, just kind of leaving it with, like, the... Like, what's the word? Like, an intimation that that's what happened. Like, you get a sense that stuff went down this way, but you don't need to, like, fucking see it.
Yeah.
And then the film quality, like, it felt a little like a made-for-TV movie. I mean, that's a budget thing. No, and digital video sometimes.
Lower budget, but in kind of, like, a way I appreciate. Because I feel like they did a lot with what they probably had, and I, like, kind of admired that. I also feel like the, like, setting for the movie, honestly, was pretty great. It worked.
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes that kind of digital video is, even if the movie is great, it just, like, cheapens it or whatever.
No,
but
like
you
I said,
do
Haunt TV, like that, no, those weird scenes. Yeah. It's, like, a little bit like that, but.
Yeah, when you were, like, part two, I'm like, it's like a telenovela because it had that kind of.
Well, yeah, it had, like, the, like, random twist. But mainly, yeah, I would say it did feel... I just wish there would have been, like, less... I don't know, rush. There's almost, like, this element of, like, rush. Like it just having to, like... I don't know. I don't know why, like... Again, I just feel like there were so many scenes where if they had just slowed it down a little bit, it would have been a lot more... scary or impactful. But I still, like, again, I was, like, giggling the whole time I watched this movie. Like, I was having a really good time.
I definitely had fun with it. Yeah, I, like, usually try and take notes, but I'm trying to stop that so I can actually...
No, you gotta absorb the movie.
Pay attention. I just forget things.
Yeah.
Just be in the moment.
Is that our... Is that what we think?
Don't take photos. Yeah, just
I guess
be in the
so.
Moment.
So I forgot to do this up top, so I'm gonna do, like, a really, like, super quick run through. This movie was released in 2018, written and directed by Rodrigo Artigau. Clara was played by Carol Artigau, which I'm pretty sure was the director's daughter. I read it in a couple reviews, haven't been able to confirm it officially, but my assumption is yes, that is her daughter. Marcus Conca as Paino, aka her papa, has appeared in almost all of this director's films, actually.
Oh, interesting.
We mentioned Jackson Atunez as Francisco de Gracias, the religious guy. I forgot to write down the name of the chicken man, but he was pretty dang good also.
Love that guy.
Yeah. The cinematographer, did a great job. As I mentioned, they, were supposedly emulating some Sam Raimi stuff there. Alexandre Barcelos and Francisco Xavier, they, co-cinematographers there. And I thought this was interesting. Rodrigo Artigau also did the special effects. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he designed all the creatures and the blood effects or what, but he's listed as the special effects guy also.
That's fun. Maybe that's his deal. Yeah. Like, maybe he's one of those guys where that's why he wants to make movies, to make creatures.
Where can you watch this thing? It's free right now on Tubi, Freevee. It's on Plex. I don't know if Plex is a free thing, but you can also rent and buy the streaming version on Amazon. And I think there's probably some Blu-rays floating around out there that you can buy as well. Let's do our standard obscurity rating. This is the thing we do. It uses data from IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and the availability of the movie. So this thing had 420 IMDb votes. Very low.
What else we got? That's not a lot.
There was only 7 IMDb critic reviews, 2 on Rotten Tomatoes. And this is streaming on 5 platforms. All in all, this has an obscurity rating of 7.
That's not bad.
That's higher than, right?
That's the, it's tied for the highest so far. Heart of Midnight also scored 7.
Yeah.
That was the first movie we did. Let's do the thing that we do where we vote. So I realized this is kind of stupid. We've been doing a 3 countdown and then doing a 1 or a 0 in the air with our hands. And I was like, why are we not just doing a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Yeah,
that makes way more sense.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
But what does each one mean? No, I'm kidding.
Wait, can you explain?
Sorry.
No, I cannot. I don't understand it myself. I'm going to do my countdown now.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, Okay. Right. Split decision.
Okay. Let the record show that we have two votes that this is a gem, one vote that this isn't a gem. And I will confess that I am the one, one vote. And I'll say this. This movie's super fun. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked it. There's a lot of things I liked about it. There were enough imperfections that I didn't feel comfortable recommending this as a horror gem.
Okay.
That's the only... I couldn't quite get there, so I had to vote no.
I know. Solid. I was almost like, God, I have to vote no on some... I think I voted no on Phantom Games.
I don't know. You did. Everyone... I liked that movie. I had a good time.
I thought this was more fun.
But if we're going by, like, principle of, like, oh, I'd recommend this to a person, like, I think for, like, both Fatal Games and this movie, it is, like... I think it's going to be a particular type of person's going to enjoy it.
I think a lot of people would enjoy this, but...
It's fun.
You think? I loved it. I had a really good time. I was, like, getting ready for the day, just watching this movie and being like, I love this movie. This movie is so fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, too.
If you need something to watch, you don't have any other ideas...
you should watch it.
Yeah.
But if you have any other ideas...
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good time.
If you like gore... if you like kind of weird fantasy folk fables, it kind of ties all that together pretty nicely.
Yeah.
I felt bad about voting no, but...
you got to be true to yourself.
You should vote your heart.
It depends on what you actually think, man. I like it, though. I like the interesting, like, again, just with a lot of... All of the horror movies we've been talking about really tie into, like, political and religious commentary.
Yeah, we've been on kind of a religious tear, really, kind of a woman-centered religious...
I recommended to my friends Alucarda. Pearl's going to watch it, which I'm really excited about. Shout out Pearl. Pearl listens to this podcast.
Does she listen?
Yeah. Yes. So she might hear this.
Many of our friends have, but I didn't know your friends.
Oh, the one thing I did want to mention. So this is the first kind of newer movie we watched.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually looking at the trend, and we were slowly going back in time. We started in, I think, 1988 with Heart of Midnight, and then went back to 1984, I think, with Fatal Games, and then back to 1977 with Alucarda. And so I decided to shoot way, way, way in the future with this one.
No, I kind of like that, too, because that's been kind of a hard thing is finding, like, modern newer movies that kind of fit into this box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, and I feel like you need to give them, like, 5 years to breathe to really, like, see if they're going to be a gem.
Right.
You know?
If they, like...
Because, obviously, a movie could come out tomorrow and it would meet our criteria, but it could be super popular in a week after it comes out.
True.
So.
Yeah, I know. There's one we've talked about this a little. There's one I kind of want to pick for mine that's sort of, I don't know.
I still want to do Spider Baby.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can do Spider Baby. Yeah.
I really do.
You're up next. Do you want to just...
Oh, my God. We're doing Spider Baby.
Okay.
Next on Jen.
That's what we're doing.
All right.
Spider Baby.
This one does not fit all the criteria, but I feel like it's a gem enough where not enough people have seen it. And I want everyone who's a fan of any queer, like, horror-esque movie or any type of, you like women doing bad things, you gotta watch this movie. It's great.
Spoiler alert.
Next week, I'm excited about it. We could bleep out the name of the movie only.
No, I kind of like that.
You could put
like
a barking dog.
If we have a preview of the next movie, I like doing it.
It's a little like preview of what I'm going to be talking your ear off about in a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, we are officially on our every other week schedule. We launched a bunch right up front just because we wanted to have some stockpiled and we weren't just sitting there with one podcast on our website
for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's going to come out every other week like normal,
which is going to get over the summer. Everybody has stuff going on, but we're going to do it.
And we may have guests on if people are not available. Like if someone's out of town or someone's just not available, we can find a guest
for the third. Have your dad sit in for you.
Yeah. I'm going to have my dad come in here and he's going to take over the entire
podcast. Oh my God.
All love.
Oh, can you hand me that pink thing? I wanted to mention something.
Oh, yeah.
So in our opening theme song, there is a scream. And I wanted to let everyone know that we have this little sound effect machine. Who bought this?
I did.
I got this for Mother's Day from my daughter.
Yes, it came from Archie McPhee.
Shout out.
It's a screaming goat sound effect. thing, and it has, you know, it has this one. It has this one. But this is the one that I used for the scream in the soundtrack.
That sounds like a regular scream.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a goat.
Scream, and that's why probably I decided a human. To use it, because I was like, oh, that's better than any sound effect I could download. Seriously. I'm just going to mic this thing up. So that's that. We're done with our podcast. Thanks for listening tonight. I had fun. Movie was fun. We had varying opinions on it, but we have yet to find an official turd.
That's true.
No vote turd. We've had differences of opinion on a movie that wasn't a gem, but it wasn't 100% a turd. This is our first difference of opinion in a gem that isn't 100% a gem. But I guess 2 out of 3, it's officially a gem. It's just, you know,
it's a little less shiny.
Yeah.
It's not gold star.
So we'll see what happens next time.
Yeah.
And the animals are on the verge of losing their minds. There's been a dance.
Losing.
Cat dog dance.
It's a cat dog dance. Mm-hmm. All right, good night.
Good night.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. We'll be right back.